You're listening to Powder Radio, brought to you by Powder Magazine. Hey everyone, and welcome to The Storytellers. You're listening to Powder Radio, and I'm your host, Sam Taggart. We're back to talk about the January issue in Volume 45, this year's photo annual. Every year, Powder's photo editor, David Reddick, has sent thousands of images of the best skiers in the world, shot by the best photographers. And each January, Powder celebrates these images with the photo annual issue. It's an honor to be talking to Jeff Krikow today on The Storytellers, a photographer based out of Vail, Colorado, whose image landed on this year's photo annual cover. Let's go behind the shot, behind the scenes, hear about how it all happened on The Storytellers today with Jeff Krikow. Without much further ado, here we go. I'm excited to have Jeff Krikow here on The Storytellers. We're going behind the photo annual cover, taken in the Vail backcountry, Colorado. Jeff is a Vail local, and Jeff is calling from Vail tonight. How you doing, man?
I'm doing pretty good, man. You?
I'm doing all right. Living just south of you in Salida for the winter.
Looks like we're going to get some good flow here in the next couple of days. Hopefully you're going to get out there.
The forecast calls for 5 days of snow and up to 55 inches by the time it's done. So I'm looking forward to getting out the snorkel.
Nice. 55 inches is a good amount of snow.
That's a solid dump. And that's kind of what brings us here, is this skiing thing, is going out into the Powder, and you landed the photo annual cover, man. What was it like hearing the news? How did you even hear the news? How did it break to you?
You know, you never know, man. I sent the shot to Dave Reddick, who's the photo editor for Powder, and man, he's been the photo editor forever. Unbelievable. Like, he's pretty much driven the whole scene in Powder. I feel Powder's branding is directly from the photos. I mean, everyone loves Powder, and Powder has the best shots. But yeah, man, I pretty much submitted it to him. I knew that it was a good shot. I was hoping it would show up somewhere as a cover, maybe. And you know, he pretty much couldn't give me any guarantees, because that's just kind of the way things work.
Yeah, you got to keep things mysterious. Dave likes to keep things mysterious.
He really does, and I understand why. I mean, you don't want, like, you know, I remember a bunch of years back when Freeze was around, I remember there was a shot that ran on the cover of, like, three different magazines because of that kind of situation where, yeah, people send the shots everywhere, and sometimes things get confusing, so I think Dave has to be a little strategical.
I was going to say, and then after all this debate, you know, it's yours.
I was psyched, man. I thought maybe that it was going to be like the first cover, or like, you know, the first issue's cover. And it didn't happen. And then as things kind of progressed, I had a good feeling about it. I was confident that it was going to show up, as a cover, and you know, I was patient, and sure enough, man, the photo came out, and yeah, super psyched.
As a photographer in this industry, do you find that patience is a really important aspect of kind of success or landing certain shots?
Yeah, man. There's so many different things. Patience, stick-to-itiveness. I think a lot of times, you know, I'm 42, man. And we talked a little earlier before we started recording about how, you know, the photo annual cover is the end all be all. I started shooting when I was 22, I think 21 actually. And, you know, I made that out to be one of the benchmarks of my career. And now that I'm 42, I got it, and it's unbelievable. It's, you know, I guess I was patient enough or worked hard enough to kind of keep it going, but yeah, I'm super stoked.
Walk us through the shot. How did you get it? What time of day was this? Who's skiing?
It was a sunrise shot that, it was one of those days where it was super cold and there was some lingering moisture. And usually when it's that cold, like sub-zero, a lot of times that lingering moisture will end up being cloud cover at high elevation. And it shuts it off sometimes. But we went for it. I had a crew of dudes that I normally shoot with. I had a contract with Scarpa that I was trying to fulfill, and I had those guys out there. And then, just by coincidence, this kid, Dorian Densmore, called me a couple nights beforehand and asked me what I was up to. I had met Dorian in Las Leñas, Argentina, the summer beforehand, and we kind of clicked. He's a super cool kid. We have a bunch of mutual friends, and I was super psyched. He called me up. It was great timing. I was like, join us. And we kind of went out there and we sat around for a while, actually, hoping that the sun would kind of break through. And, you know, when it's that cold and it just snowed, you get a lot of that lingering snow that kind of hangs in the air. And, you know, I've seen, you know, like the snow devils or snow dogs. I'm not sure what people have different names for it. You've seen that before, but this kind of presented itself in a rainbow. And as it was happening, it kind of all went down. And the funny thing is the first guy that actually hit it was this guy, Lonesome Pony, who if you're on Instagram, you should check him out. But his name's Mark Morris. And Mark hit it, did a great job. And then I kind of recalibrated and shot Dorian off of it and got the shot. Dorian kind of did a cool grab, had the vision of the shot. It was kind of a bummer to have the shot of Mark and have it be such a sweet shot and not be able to do anything with it, just because I knew that if I sat on that, I shot it horizontal. So if I sat on that shot and hoped that the shot of Dorian would actually be a cover, it was definitely painful to not circulate that image of Mark. And I feel bad that I kind of did him a disservice by that, but Mark's such a cool dude. And, you know, we're still shooting and I think he's still stoked.
You have to be selective with the shots that you want to, you know, show the world.
Yeah, no, it's always a gamble, man. It's just deciding who you send the images to, deciding what to hold on to, what, you know, I think the other element that's really come into play for me is Instagram and what you post on Instagram. I feel like it's, for me, times have changed, man. I mean, people kind of look towards your Instagram as what you're doing, and to post the second best kind of is almost doing a disservice to yourself. So for me, I kind of always want to post the best image. And if you post the best image, then that sometimes might ruin the chance of it becoming, you know, the photo annual cover. And God, man, that one shot actually was one of the only shots I did not post last year. That was one of my bangers. I actually ended up posting a screenshot of it with my phone of the camera, and that was it, because I knew that if I had circulated it, then perhaps it would not grace the covers of Powder.
It would have less mystique. That's interesting that's your thought process is so decisive in, you know, what you're sharing on social media at what times. And it's important because Instagram is your portfolio in a lot of ways these days.
It really is, man. I think it's been a huge struggle for a lot of photographers, because you're pretty much giving away your best photos. But at the same time, I say to myself, okay, if this is what people are seeing, do I want people to see all my B stuff, or do I want them to see the A pluses? Cause that's what's going to get you work. And I kind of, the last couple of years, have approached it from that angle, and it's been semi-beneficial. I think, you know, a couple of images have not been published because they got a little too much exposure from Instagram. But I think as a whole, it's gotten me more work, and it's definitely been a learning process. And I've talked with a bunch of photographers about that. And, you know, we all have our gripes about how hard it is to make a buck with photography, and you don't want to give the stuff away for free. So the whole digital element has been kind of challenging. It's been fun.
It's funny because the physical printed out picture is no longer how people view photography on the day to day. It's not like you're going to be inviting people over for the photo album. Hey guys, we just went on this trip, on this hut trip through the Colorado backcountry. I made a great photo album and I'm going to cook lasagna, you know. Yeah. But, you know, it's how people consume that information these days. So you got to find the balance there.
It's been interesting. It's for someone, you know, like I've mentioned, I'm 42. So, you know, I started with film, and it's changed so much, man. And just stoked to be still along for the ride and still getting to ski pow and semi make a living at it.
What's been the biggest transition for you in the film to digital age? I talked to Hank DeVray for a story that came out in the January issue as well. And he was saying that it's freaking awesome to be able to hold down the trigger and shoot photography at high speed.
Yeah, the pray and spray, or is it spray and pray? No, it's amazing. But on the flip side, though, man, it's crazy, man, because typically I would go out on a shoot, you know, I'd go somewhere cool for 2 weeks and I buy a brick of Velvia, but it's about 500 images, 600 images. You shoot all those, you know, you send it in, you get to see them 2 weeks later. You know, on an average trip that I go on, I'll shoot about 5,000 images. So pretty much everyone's doing that now. And it's making photography. It's pushing the edge of photography. It's making the shots are so much better now, man. It's unbelievable what you see in the mags. I would say it's partially because there's just more people out there shooting. I would say that it's the technology. There's so many different reasons. I think the best part about it is that 20 rolls of film that I used to shoot, I'd go on an assignment, you know, the pressure would be on, it'd be 2 weeks. I could have potentially been making the same mistake on every single one of those 560 frames and not known about it until 2 weeks later when I got the film back from the lab. You know, nowadays you push one frame, you pull a frame, press the button, you look at the image on your camera, you know exactly what you did wrong, exactly where you need to move. And you immediately recalibrate. So the learning curve's incredible. And because of that, you just see so much more amazing photography out there. And it's cool, man. It's progressed photography as a whole, but it's also made it harder to make a living at it. So
because the tools we're using are better, the creativity can be furthered in the photographer's eye. And I was just going to try to connect, you know, your skiing to your photography. You know, what is it about this sport that draws you in so much as an artist behind the lens?
I think it was situational for me, man. I think I moved to Vail as a kid, was just trying to figure stuff out. I was cooking, I was doing a bunch of different jobs, and I started as a lift op, and I kind of wanted to do something that I enjoyed. And I had taken some photography classes as a high school student, and it was probably the only class I actually ever did well in. But so I kind of just started taking it up again, just the passion or the to find out who you are, like as a young guy, like kind of pushed me down that road. And because I was living in Vail at the time, ski photography kind of became what I wanted to do. And, you know, since then I've learned to love it so much as a sport, man. Just there's nothing like powder, like backlit powder. Like it's fluid. It's like, it reminds me of when you watch like a car commercial that shows the aerodynamics of a car and shows the steam or smoke rising over the car, and how it, the same thing happens with powder, man. When a skier is charging through the powder, the explosions that are created are unreal. And if you can capture that and show that, like it's unbelievable, man. And I've always been super stoked on, what you get from that kind of experience. You know, you pick and choose the best days to go out. Like when the powder's super light, you get the best shots, man, because it's like air. It's like water. It just flows over the person and creates this texture, and it's cool.
That's so elemental.
Definitely stoked on it. Yeah, dude. Yeah, totally.
It's that's true. It's grace and speed under pressure. And you captured it with a rainbow on the photo annual cover.
Yeah, and that was all just completely luck. Like, too, that's the other part of shooting ski photos, man, is the more you show up and the more you wake up early, the more you seem to get lucky.
What do you have planned for this winter? What's going on in the future, man?
Well, I'm hoping, since like the powder photo annual is like so esteemed, that all of a sudden I'm just going to be busy as hell.
Just be lining up jobs.
Pretty turning stuff down, like, unless it's high dollar.
You can tell me you're on a radio show.
I can. Yeah, dude. No, things are going well, man. It's super sweet to be at this point and to have people stoked. I couldn't be more happier with the photo annual shot. Like, I feel like it's all downhill from here. Just gotta show up and hopefully pay attention and get some good shots. But right now I'm actually about to head out to Montana to do a faction ski and clothing shoot with Adam DeLorme and Duncan Adams, which is going to be super fun, man. Those guys are super cool dudes, and I've had a great time skiing with them. So that's really the only thing on the books right now. And if anyone's listening to this and wants to hire me to go to, you know, anywhere exotic, give me a shout.
Well, I want to thank you for being part of the radio show. We're here on the Storytellers talking about the photo annual, volume 45, the January issue. Photographer Jeff Cricco on the line. Thanks a lot, man. It's been great chatting, and hope to have you on the show again soon.
Oh, for sure, Sam. Thanks so much, man. I'm super honored, and let's get after it here somewhere in Monarch or possibly Wolf Creek. Let's talk soon.
And that's our show. Thank you to the listeners here on Powder Radio, and a big thanks to my guest today, Jeff Cricco. Stay tuned for more coverage of this year's photo annual and next week's episode of The Storytellers. I'll be speaking with Ulrich Longhager, this year's Photo of the Year award winner at the 17th Annual Powder Awards held in Breckenridge, Colorado. I hope everyone has taken turns this winter. This is The Storytellers. I'm your host, Sam Taggart, and we'll catch you next time.